We have on the phone with us this morning Dave Snuggs. He is, I'm not sure exactly what he is. He's got so many things going on. But what we're talking about this morning is a project called My Neighbor in Need. Dave, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Jim?
Well, good. It's kind of hard to pigeonhole you. You've done a lot of things.
Yes, sir, I have.
But one of the things you've done lately is probably something that a lot of folks might not look at early in their careers when they're young and ambitious, is something they want to accomplish. It's My Neighbor in Need. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Sure. If you can imagine for a second, it's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week wish list where anyone can go online that has a need, ask for help with that need. The need gets verified and then posted on the website where other members of the community can act like Santa and fulfill that need in an anonymous setting.
Now, you have a background in marketing, correct?
Yes, sir.
So was this kind of a natural at this point in your life?
No, what happened was it was in 2001, and a friend of mine, a fellow employee, had a need. And I asked him, why didn't you ask for help? And he said, how do you ask for help? It's a pride issue. And I started thinking, well, what if there was a way to ask for help and no one knows you're asking? And then it just kind of morphed into this idea. I looked at web ideas, and before Facebook, there was no computer code. So it never went away. It just kind of stood there. And then finally, in November of 2011, I was motivated by a story I saw with Sal DiMaselli out of Wisconsin, and he'd been helping people for 20 years with paper and pen. And I thought, well, this is more efficient if we did it web-based. And so it just turned into My Neighbor in Need.
Well, we all see folks in need. We've all been different places where we've seen folks out on street corners with signs or, you know, in a lot of cases, not even asking. They just don't know how, and they feel guilty about even asking and things. But there are a lot of people out there that do have need for different types of reasons. And I'm sure you're learning all kinds of different types of reasons now.
We are. And what's interesting is that pride keeps people from asking. Some people would rather go back in their house and starve than ask for help. This website allows you to ask for help, and no one but myself and a core group of volunteers know who's making the ask. And now, so we get to verify everything to make sure that the need is legitimate and that the case and the scenario is legitimate before we post it on the web. And then the people that want to fulfill it, they fulfill the need by servicing the vendor, meaning, for example, a person in need never gets a dime. If that person's need is to get a car repair, the donor writes the check to the car repair place.
Very good. Well, you know, you'd expect to see something like this in a large city, the New Yorks, the Chicagos, the Los Angeleses, places like that where there's a large concentration of people, and you'd expect a lot more people in need. But in Montana, are you surprised at how many people that you're finding that actually have needs right there close to home?
Yeah, it's quite shocking. I really thought when we launched this on March 20th that we would try and service 200 people a year. We are now 4 months old, and we've helped 338 people as of date.
That's shocking. That is really shocking. But it's heartwarming, too. It's nice to know that you're able to fill that need.
Yes, and remember that it's not necessarily me that's fulfilling it. It's the community. Without the community stepping up and saying, I can fulfill a need, it's just a website. That's why it's so important that there's a lot of Santas out there.
Do you find skeptics, though?
Not in the beginning, yes, not anymore, because our verification process is so in-depth. People realize, hey, you know what, I want to give to this program because they've done their background work on the person. And that's what's neat about it is if you write a check to fulfill someone's need, we've done all the verification process. So you can feel pretty comfortable that, hey, I am buying that bus ticket for that person.
Well, and I think we've all been through that before. I'm probably not telling too many secrets when you walk through some of these big cities and you see people holding up signs or asking for money, what have you, and they give you a story. I'm sure for a lot of us, there's a certain amount of doubt that goes through our minds. Yeah, sure, it's being used for this. You're just using it to do something else or, you know, fulfill your habits and whatever. With this, you don't have to worry.
Right, because they're not getting any money. If they say to you, we ask them, what's your immediate need? And they say, I really need to get a motel for a night. Well, then we take them to the mission, or we take them to a shelter, or we do things like that. Or if we ask them, what's their need? And they say, my need is to get back home where I'm from. Well, we can verify that, you know, by getting their information. And if it's legitimate, we'll ask for a bus ticket and try and get someone back home. One thing I've also realized, Jim, is that people that are in need, that need occupies their thoughts so much that when you ask them, what is your need? It comes right out. There's no hesitation. If you ask a single mom, what is your need? And she goes, diapers, she needs diapers. It's the folks that hem and haw. Well, my need is, those are the folks that are looking for a want and not a need.
So do you have a board or a group of people that sorts through all this?
We do. We have volunteers. We call them good deed doers. And we have a group of volunteers that receive the needs either through the web, or we also have a 453 help number where people can call, because a lot of folks in need don't have the internet. They don't have access to a computer. They can't get to the library. So they can call that number, and then we take down the information, begin the verification process. Once it's been approved, it goes on the web, and that's when folks out there can say, I want to fulfill that need.
Mm-hmm. Dave, are you finding on the other end of the spectrum, though, too, that you're finding a lot of folks out there who want to be good deed doers but really didn't know how or didn't feel comfortable doing it before that are coming forward through this process?
Yes, we get calls every day, and what's really neat is we get calls every day from other states asking how they can get this system. Because remember, if you're in L.A. or New York or Chicago, you don't have to service all of L.A. or New York or Chicago. Pick 20 blocks in your neighborhood and say, we're going to launch this program. It's going to service this two-square-mile area. And start with that. And as you build it, you watch the doors open up. People will come to you and say, I want to help. When we first launched, we were doing a lot of appliance. People were asking, hey, I don't have a washer, dryer, or my refrigerator broke. And people were offering us appliances, saying, hey, I'm moving or I'm upgrading. You can have my refrigerator. Well, the problem was we didn't have a storage unit. And then sure enough, a storage company said, I love what you guys are doing. What do you need? I said, well, our need is a big storage unit for free. And sure enough, we got one.
You know, I don't want to minimize what you're doing at all, but it sounds like this is probably a little bit easier once you got going than you even thought it was going to be.
It is from a standpoint of the actual getting the request for help and the fulfillment. What takes the longest amount of time is the verification. For example, Jim, let's say you had a need and you leave a phone number and I call you and you're not there. I got to wait for you to call me back. And then we go on to the next one. Because out of the 338 we fulfilled, we've processed almost 700 requests. And a lot of those requests we're unable to fulfill, or we fulfill them in a way that we don't count. For example, someone will say, I'm being threatened to lose my home. Well, we send them in the right direction. We have lots of agencies out there that work from food hunger issues to medical to, you know, home and mortgage. We refer them to those agencies, and they help out. But the process is easy. It's the verification that takes the longest.
So you've got the website set up already for your area. You're getting inquiries from other folks. Are they, let's say, for example, someone from here in Southwest Iowa would decide, hey, this is something maybe we'd want to try to do. Do they contact you and kind of hook into what you're doing?
Yes, it's real simple. It just takes three things to have this system. Even though I own the code, everything, I'm giving it away for free for other people who can help their neighbors in need. There's no financial gain for this for anybody. All they need is three things. They need someone to quarterback it, someone like me that can get work 3 days a week, 3 hours a day, that quarterbacks it. Then you need 3 to 4 volunteers that are the ones that are the good deed doers, that get the phone calls, that get the requests, and begin we use 10 questions as a questionnaire. They need 3 or 4 of those who can do that. Then you need about 3 or 4 people out there that can be liaisons, because we never send a stranger to a stranger's house. So, for example, if you say, I want to mow someone's yard, and we don't send you to Grandma Nellie's house, we send a liaison to meet you at Grandma Nellie's house because we want to make sure you do the job correctly, and we want to be able to make sure that everybody's safe. So if you have those three things, we'll write you your own code, create your own website for you based on your community, and you can be up and running in 10 days.
Wow. Well, Dave, you have expenses involved in this. How do you take care of all that?
We're blessed. My employer, who I work full-time for, a Montana Farmers Union, they have funded all the operational costs for the next 2 years. Our costs are minimum, though, because all of our marketing, all of our stories in the paper, our news coverage, and our radio commercials are all donated by the local media. So our hard costs really are fuel for the folks that are out there picking stuff up and delivering it, and just general supplies. But you'd be surprised. We have an office donated. We have phones that are donated. People out there want to help. They just want to know how to help.
You see this growing quite a bit.
There's no reason why this can't be nationwide. Someone told me out of Houston, Texas, what we have here is we have Facebook for good deed doers.
Hmm. Interesting.
Because anyone can have it.
Sure, sure. What do you put a lot of time and effort into this. What do you get out of this?
The joy of helping people. My whole life, even when I worked in pro sports, I always got a kick out of helping those in need, because we get more than they actually get by helping. And so to see it now where people out there who can help you can make an immediate change in someone's life by just taking a stand and saying, yeah, I can't financially help, but you know what? I do have a vacuum cleaner that I can donate. I can help with this. I can mow someone's yard, or I can. There are things you can do without any financial resources to change someone's life.
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to leave your mark on this world, but we can't all be, the leading home run hitter of all time or throw the most touchdown passes, but we can all leave our mark on other people, and isn't that kind of what this is all about?
Exactly. Think about this. We just fulfilled one 30 minutes ago, a homeless lady who's from Fargo, North Dakota, and she's trying to get back there because that's where her family is, and all she needs is a bus ticket. And she's very well-educated, very nice lady. She just had a bump in the road. Well, think about it. One person can write a check for $140 for that ticket, or think about this. 14 people could give $10 today, and she has her ticket. We are so much stronger as a group of everyone giving $10 versus one person saying, well, I can't pay $140. Don't. Pay just $10. This is the best stimulus package ever invented because it goes back to the way it used to be. We're helping our neighbors.
Dave, what's the website?
www.myneighborinneed.org.
All they need to do is type that in. They can visit. They can check that out a little bit. Maybe they'll find someone today that they'd like to help.
Exactly. I'll tell you this much. Our 50th need fulfillment was from a soldier in Afghanistan who paid for a grandmother in Great Falls, Montana to have her tree cut down for it wouldn't fall on our roof. He sent a check in for $300 to the tree cutting company. When the tree cutting company heard about it, they said, no, we can't take his money. But here's someone in Afghanistan who wanted to help a total stranger.
Our world expands, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Very
sure
good.
Does.
Well, Dave, continued success. See why I told you up front? I don't know how to pigeonhole this guy. I don't know what to call him necessarily. You call him a good neighbor is what you call him. Dave Snuggs, again, thanks a lot for the effort. And if folks want to know more, again, check that website out, www.myneighborinneed.org, and you can see what it's all about. Dave, continued success.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it.